May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our foundation. Amen. I need a little help here today to make some connections. See, it kind of pulls out here. So could you just hold on to this end? Okay. And if you could take that. No, you hold on to that end. Okay. And I'm going to give this to some people at the other end. Now, I want you to pass this along so that everybody, and we're going to join in the middle, gets a hold of the string. So just pass it and pass it back and just pass it around to everyone. Now, the question I'd like to ask you, who are you connected to today in this congregation? You're married. Okay, I mean, who are you connected to? This is my family over here. This is my wife and son and Sarah's wife and Grace, my one and only fantastic granddaughter and my number one grandson. And so who are you connected to here? Could you just...
Grandson and son and myself.
Grandson, son, okay. Who else? Friends. Keep that thing going on. Keep passing it around. How are we doing? Where's the cord now? Over here? Keep it coming. Now, the other question is, who are you in ministry with in this congregation? Okay, can I have a show of hands, the Board of Elders? All right, there's one there. Brian's busy at the present time. Helen, where are you? Here. Okay, who's connected to the moderator? The moderator's there. Who's connected to her in ministry? So I want the finance team, put your hands up. Keep your hands up. Finance team, put your hands up. Human resources, put your hands up. Property, put your hands up. Okay, who was on the nominating committee? Get your hands up. All right. Who was on different programs? Who was on the children's and family programs committee? Okay. Some of you probably got two or three hands now. There's no committee, I understand, but actually, who's doing church life? Okay, everybody get their hand up. Okay. Who's been working in the kitchen at different times through the year? Okay. If you've been on a praise team, put your hands up. All right. Have you been ushering? Have you been doing communion? Have you been a speaker? Have you given a sermon, Max? I'm recruiting some, Don. You're on my list. Prayer leaders. This is a list. I'm only a quarter of the way through. Of all the activities and ministries that are taking place in this church. We have the faith lesson Sunday morning. We have the men's Bible study. We have the journey. We have the seven pillars. We have wildlife. We have campaigners. We got children's club. We got camping. And then we have Sunday morning coffee, soup and buns, family events, banquets, Christmas and Easter. This place likes food. And I like it for liking food. Men who eat meat. I didn't get to that one, but I hope to get invited back next year. Mats and chats, community garden, perfect potluck, ready-to-go meals. It's exhausting putting this list together. It's tiring. And you're all connected. Now, I want you to tighten it all up. Can you tighten? Just get it a little tighter. All right, pull it back and forth. Okay. You are all being appreciated. You're getting a hug. All right? You're hugging each other. Okay. Next slide, please. Next slide. Okay. There are seven passages I'm going to read today. There are seven passages that tell us how we might live as the body of Christ. Because all of you are connected here at First Baptist Church, and there are others that aren't here that are involved and active in ministry at this church. It all starts with 1 Peter, where Peter wrote, "Welcome to the living stone, the source of life. The workman took one look and threw it out. God set it in place of honor. Now present yourself as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, in which you all will serve as holy priests, offering Christ-approved lives up to God." These are Paul's words, recognizing that you have been chosen for the ministry of all believers. The scripture provides a precedent. "Look, I'm setting a stone in Zion, a cornerstone in the place of honor. Whoever trusts in the stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it. To you," understand this, "to you who trust in this stone as a foundation will never have a cause to regret it." Hear these words directed to you from scripture. "The stone the workmen threw out is now the chief foundation stone. For the untrusting, it's a stone to trip over, a boulder blocking the way. They trip and fall because they refuse to obey, just as predicted." But hear these words. "But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people." Hear this. "God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the day and night difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejection to acceptance. For those who have appropriated, for those who have heard the call, for those that have given themselves over to Jesus Christ." Recognize the words of Peter. You have been chosen to be a royal priesthood. "So there is no division between me and you. There's no division between you and the elders. There's no division between you and the person beside you. You are all chosen for the work of God." The second passage is from 1 Corinthians 12. You know it. You've heard it. You've studied it in the Bible and everything else. It's about that icky thing about the parts of the body. You can easily enough see how this kind of thinking works by going no further than your own body. Again, your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you name, you're still one body. You are all individuals, but you are in one body here. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one spirit, we all say goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. And I hope you understand that. In membership in a church, in attendance of a church, in offering yourself within a church, you are no longer piecemealing yourself. You are part of the body. We each used to be independent, calling our own shots. But when we entered into a large and integrated life in which he, Christ, has the final say in everything, each of us is now part of his resurrection body. You are part of his resurrection party, body, and the power that goes with that. Each of you is refreshed, sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek or slave, are no longer valid. We need something larger, more comprehensive to call ourselves. And what has history called us? A very derogatory term in its original concept and use, and is getting more derogatory each day. You're called a Christian. You're called a Christian. There might be some cause as to why it's lost some favor in some parts, but it also calls upon us to recognize that it is being called to be a slave to Christ. I want you to think about how all this makes you a more significant lot less. A body just isn't a single part blown up into something huge. I'm going to jump down. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every part enters into the exuberance of that flourishment. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part in that body does your part have meaning. You're familiar with some of the parts that God has formed in His church, which is His body. And how does this take place? Well, we go to Ephesians. But that doesn't mean you should look and speak all the same as one body. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us has been given his own gift. The text from Psalm 68 that is quoted by Paul says, he climbed the high mountain, he captured the enemy, he seized the booty, he handed out all the gifts to the people. It is not true that the one who climbed up also climbed down to the valley of the earth, and the one who climbed down is the one who climbed back up to the highest heaven. He handed out gifts. They're talking about God coming down as a gift in Jesus Christ, God returning by Jesus Christ to the heavens, and then bestowing gifts. And what are these spiritual gifts? 1 Corinthians 12. You've heard them. What I want to talk about now is the various ways of God's Spirit gets working into our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood. And boy, is it misunderstood in some areas. You got to speak? No. I won't get into that controversy. Okay, I will. There are tongues that are spoken. But there's also the gift of mercy. And there's the gift of hospitality. And the gift of teaching. These are all gifts. Each person is given something to do that show who God is. I love that when Paul wrote that. You have been given a gift to show who God is. And what are they? Well, this is Eugene Peterson's list. Wise counsel is a gift. Clear understanding is a gift. Simple trust is a gift. Healing the sick is a gift. Miraculous acts is a gift. Proclamation is a gift. Distinguishing between spirits is a gift. Tongues is a gift. Interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by one Spirit of God. And that Spirit decides who gets what and when and why. Then we come to Romans. So here's what I want you to do, Paul writes, helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Not Sunday morning. take everything that you do and place it before God as an offering. Skipping down here. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us. Not by what we are and what we do for Him. I gave a wonderful recognition of all the roles and functions and ministries and everything that's happening and making connections. And we do appreciate everyone that's doing it, and particularly first of the month, communion. Prepared, ready to go. Walk in here Sunday morning, and I say it every Sunday morning. A praise team's ready to go. They got the music. They got the songs. The Holy Spirit downloaded them on in the week. I show up and go, hey, connection, connection, connection. Doing, doing, doing. But we understand God for what He does for us, not what we do. So what did He do for us? Different words, but they all come down to the same thing. Saved, redeemed, restored, transformed, renewed, born again. It makes us whole for eternity. And it's not a bus pass to heaven. That's a given. I believe that is a given in the blessing, the transformation, but we begin the eternal life now in expectation of that heaven, living now as if I'm in heaven, knowing that Christ saved me, redeemed me, transformed me, became born again within me so that I might see the world through His eyes. If you preach just God's message and nothing else, just preach. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you are put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. There are gifts of preaching, gifts of helping, gifts of teaching. But how are we to exercise those? How do we release Christ in us? Well, this weekend, I have had the privilege of conducting 3 weddings already, and I'm doing one at 3 o'clock. And this coming week, I have 3 funerals to prepare for. So what is the way? And what do you hear at every wedding, almost, either directly in Scripture or tucked into the wording? 1 Corinthians 13. The way is love. But I want you to hear this very clearly. This is Paul's instructions for the church. Yes, it is very handy to have in a marriage, in a relationship. Yes, it is very handy, but it is for the church. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy but don't have love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. New interpretation. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all His mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to the mountain, jump, and it jumps, but don't love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything I owe to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't trust. Excuse me. Love doesn't strut. Glasses here. Doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. doesn't fly over, oh, excuse me, I got to slow down, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't reveal when others grovel, takes pressure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything. Ooh, gee, in a church, putting up with anything? Ooh. Trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Now, inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. Hear these words. We know only a portion of the truth. This is what Paul wrote. And what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete comes, our incompleteness is canceled. We hold on to that trust in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We may say things, we may do things, we may exercise things in the church that are incorrect, that may be cumbersome, sandpaper. We may have difficulty. But love should be exercised as the way we relate. In this beautiful passage from Ephesians, as the Nike swoosh logo and their slogan, do it. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Watch what God does, then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with God and learn the life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cantankerous or difficult or oppressing or overwhelming, but extravagant. It's interesting how God knows how to love each of you personally. I love that little skit about needing a restraining order on that sense of possession. Jesus doesn't possess us. He gave his life to us. He didn't love us in order to get something from us. He died for us to give us everything. So as a church, in appreciation of all we do, Paul's words are, love Christ and give everything you have to him. Love Christ and give everything you have to him. Amen.